Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, Four City. We are in front of All Star Weekend. The cast are ears open. Let's go. The caller number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded in Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. I got my co-host with me for the evening, Matt, E3's Finest. How are you doing this evening? Welcome to the cafe.
Hey, Ty, how's it going? How's your night going?
I'm at the edge of my seat, to be honest. I'm real at the edge of my seat. Due to the fact that my Thunder are playing the New Orleans Pelicans, and I'm not going to lie, you know, I can't stand Duke, but I am a Zion Williamson fan, and he is going off, and his game is actually an interesting one. It's too close for my bargaining, but the Thunder are up right at this point, so I'm going to be honest. I am at the edge of my seat trying to keep a close eye on this game. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm watching that game, and also I'm keeping an eye on the Clippers-Boston game going on. It looks like a tight one, too.
Yeah, but everybody wants to get their juices flowing, if you will, to head into the All-Star break with something to talk about. Well, speaking of which, we got some things to talk about here in the Crossover Cafe. And the first thing I do want to jump into is Damian Lillard suffers an injury right before the All-Star weekend. He will miss the All-Star game and the three-point contest, even though the three-point shootout is, you know, a sideshow compared to the All-Star game in the regular season. But knowing that all of the success that's been around this Portland Trail Blazers team as of late has been Dame Lillard on this Mamba mentality going off, one, I want to hear your thoughts on Damian Lillard's injury, and two, what kind of setback do you think this will have on the Portland Trail Blazers at this time?
Oh man, the way he was playing, this is a huge loss for Portland. I don't know what they're going to do to shuffle the lineup. It took them a long time to gel this year. They finally were gelling, and now this happened. How long did they say he's out for?
I don't have the timetable on how long it is. I just know that they said it's a groin injury, so I don't have a timetable on how long that he is out though.
Yeah, I don't know how you replace him. I mean, like you said, he was pretty close with Kobe. He's got the Mamba mentality. He was dominating the last five games. Oh, man, that's whether it's one game or 11, that's a lot for Portland to make up for.
Now, in which it was a situation where Portland had to survive while TJ was out for a little bit, and knowing that they're trying to get as healthy as possible, they're still without one of their bigs in Collins. They're also without Nurkic, one of the bigs from last season, with the gruesome, compound fracture to his ankle injury. Whiteside's been okay at the big man position, even though they let go of Myers Leonard and they sent him down to Miami. That was kind of the trade. But this is where CJ is going to have to step up, and need I say Carmelo Anthony is going to have to step up in this point in time too. I feel like it's a lot that I'm asking for, but I think they know what the importance is, because it's kind of been the point guard gets the ball over the court, he moves the ball about two or three times. If Dame gets the ball back, he's launching it. I don't care where he is. He's been that efficient. He's been that confident in that shot. He's knocking it down anywhere. Please don't let them play in Portland, because he's going to hit that shot from the locker room. So now with him being out, this puts Portland in a tough place, because, let's be honest, they're outside of the top eight in the Western Conference, and they're fighting tooth and nail to try and get at least to the eighth seed, and it's a tough battle to get there. So knowing what Dame brings to the table, knowing that he's been averaging at least 40 points the last couple of games on his tear since Kobe's passed away, I want to be fair to him and just say, let's just give him like 29 points a game. You're at least missing 29 a game at least, but he's been scoring 40 a clip. But this is huge, and I don't know where, you know, we look at it saying like, I want to say if CJ could start having a 30-point game, or if Carmelo could come out of nowhere and give him 24 to 30, like I'm hoping that can happen for them. But this is tough, to say the least, for this Portland Trailblazer team.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very tough. Carmelo is definitely going to have to step up. He's kind of been under the radar. I know he took some time off when Kobe passed. I think he took it kind of hard. So he's going to have to do it, though. It's going to come on his shoulders, the KG vet. So we'll see if he can step up while Lillard's gone.
Yeah, and I'm shuffling trying to find out the timetable. I'm not seeing anything on it, but like I said, this is at least their vacation time in the middle of the season in the All-Star game, because I think all of the teams are off up until Thursday of next week. I think they go back to play Friday and Saturday of next week. So Thursday's the last day off for them for their little break as they start to make the race toward the the finish line of April. And I can't believe that we are this close to March. At least we're this close to March. So, and you know, all hell breaks loose, especially here at Sports City, because March Madness, college basketball is at a premium. And, of course, a lot of these teams start to fight tooth and nail to, you know, see who's going to be dancing in April and who's fishing. Okay. So I want to bring an interesting question to you. And this is pretty interesting to me, because I really don't go off of, like, controversial things and stuff of that nature, right? But I do want to do this one because I feel like it's gone too far in the back end of the NBA or in sports. But more likely, I'll say all of professional sports has gone too far. Now, there was a game in which the Los Angeles Clippers had played the Philadelphia 76ers, in which the Sixers did win this game. They interviewed Paul George. And it's kind of like a setup, at least how I feel, right? These guys are told freedom of speech, so on and so forth, right? And, of course, if they lose, they're going to be mad. It's going to be something that he's going to say that may not be the right thing. But I feel like he tried to say the best thing because he was mad at the point in time. He got fined $35,000. Hold on. He got fined $35,000 for, and I quote, home court cooking tonight, to say the least. That's it. So, okay. So you mean to tell me that this guy can't voice his opinion? He has to, you know, basically say no comment and keep it moving. You put these media, you know, reporters, so on and so forth, everybody in their face with a camera, light, and a recorder to hear everything that these guys got to say. If that's the case, keep them out of their face. And I don't even have multi-millions of dollars like these guys do. Who wants to sit up here and lose money, let alone to lose $35,000 or something that you know he didn't say something ridiculous about the cause? I mean, something may have happened in the midst of the game that pissed him off, you know, so on and so forth. But come on, like, be real. Like, and I don't know if he can appeal this or not because of how time is, you know, how fast time goes. And they're going into the All-Star weekend, and he'll be out there at least for the All-Star weekend. But your thoughts on Paul George, do you think that this has gone too far in all sports, that these players can't speak their minds at all? They have to really watch what they're saying?
Yeah, it's just brutal. I mean, that's a year's salary for, you know, normal people, 35 grand. That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, the whole Facebook, you know, they censor everything. And I guess now the NBA is trying to censor everything. It's just a shame, you know. You should be allowed to speak your mind, you know. Even if it doesn't, you know, mesh with, you know, the politically correct people, I mean, you should be allowed to say what you want.
Yeah, I mean, especially after the frustration after a loss against a team that you want to go in the arena and win. Philadelphia's only, I think, they lost two games at home, if I'm not mistaken. They are on an interesting one at home. So, you know, the Clippers are taking that personally. They've been beating teams, whether home or away. They've had an interesting season with one superstar, and I want to give Paul George superstar quality, but some people say, no, he's just a star, he's an all-star, so on and so forth. But I respect Paul George to call him an all-star. I mean, it feels like I'm not missing any bases. So, you know, they're taking this kind of personal, going up against Joel Embiid and the trash that he talks, and Ben Simmons being a quality player too. So this is interesting. But for them to throw that type of, you know, fine at him, what about $5,000? Like, do you make it seem like he cursed, or he said the ref's name, or he directed it at somebody? He said, to say the least, I just don't get it. Like, that's a bothersome number at the end of the day. But I know that he can handle it. Like, it's not a situation like he can't afford to pay the fine. Of course he can pay the fine, but, like, if you are in the midst of a game, you know that these guys' emotions are involved. They're going to say something that is not going to be politically correct, and you guys hold it against them. Oh, we're going to fine them X amount of money. And I feel bad with Paul George, and he ain't on the Thunder no more. It's like, I shouldn't, but that's ridiculous. Like, I can see if he said something blatant. If this is all that he said was home court cooking tonight, to say the least, who do you think he's talking to? Like, who was he talking about? Like, of course, we know he's talking about the referee, but that's absurd. That's absurd. Anything else that you think to ask you before you, right. Anything else that you'd like to add before we get away from it, though?
Yeah, I mean, we covered it pretty well, but, you know, it's just – that's just crazy, man. Hopefully they'll let him talk the rest of the year.
That they'll let him talk, but they're going to watch everything that he says. And, you know, they do that to, you know, coaches that they love to keep their eyes on and the camera in front of, like Coach Popovich, just to name some of the people quickly that they like to watch, or, you know, back in the day with Iverson and Tim Duncan, like those guys, you know. And Paul George is a big name in the NBA. I guess he's got to try to be the example or set the standard for people that are, you know, coming up in the league and think that they're not supposed to say, but nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. Okay.
No.
I have a big question for you, and I want to see how you feel about this one, right? In the Eastern Conference, there's a team that's going crazy, and they have the best record in the league, right? And this is the Milwaukee Bucks, and in which they had a game yesterday in Indiana where they were down by more than 20 points. Without Giannis, they were down 20 plus. Let me get it right. In which they stormed back and won the game in Indiana without Giannis. I ask you, are the Milwaukee Bucks for real?
Wow, they came back last night and won, huh?
Big time, to say the least. I hope I don't get fined either.
I had Indiana actually pulling it out 118-111. This could be wrong, though, but this is what SBR says. But either way, they definitely came back. They were down 20. It is pretty amazing that they were able to do that without Giannis. I do buy Milwaukee as for real, but I don't know if I can have them as the Eastern Conference champion just yet. I don't trust them, especially in the postseason. When it comes down to, you know, a big game, I do not trust them to do it.
They favored them and the Lakers to be in the finals, which I'm not mad at both of those, you know, actually opinions. I'll say it like that, for the opinions that they threw out, right? Because the Bucks have the best record in the league. The Lakers have the best record in the West. And that's saying something on both sides of the spectrum, because the Lakers are in a tough Western Conference. I don't care how you add it up. That's a tough conference. And the Bucks, well, I mean, they're doing what they're supposed to do in the Eastern Conference, but if they have a better record than everybody in the league, I mean, they have to be held to some standard. But I'm somewhat with you, man. Like, I feel like they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then we'll have to see how it plays out. But I don't feel like they have that big game shooter that's threatening people on the floor. You know what I'm saying? Like, Middleton is their guy. He's their all-star scorer outside of Giannis. And I don't know if his consistency is there. It might get lost. I just don't see the Bucks winning the Eastern Conference handily, but I feel like they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals, especially the way that the East is looking right now, because the Raptors are flaming hot. They finally lost a game after 16 games. They were on a 15-game winning streak and lost to Brooklyn while they were injured. They're missing players at this point in time, so this is tough for the Raptors, especially while they're sitting at second place trying to get back into the picture of what the Bucks have set up. You have Boston that's playing well. They're playing the Clippers right now, playing an interesting game. I feel like it's fool's gold with the Pacers, especially the way that that game went down, with them losing that type of way. But the Sixers are there too, so there's a lot of teams I have to worry about. Now, I'm also missing the Miami Heat, the way that the Heat have been off and running and playing with a young team as well. So I'm somewhat with you. I feel like they can get to the Eastern Conference. They can win it, but I think that they have to defend home. If they lose a game at home, I think it might be an uphill battle for them to make a difference. Because, you know, a lot of these teams are going to play different. They're going to have the home crowd behind them and have momentum as well. So that's something that I'm watching, you know, sparingly as best as possible for the Bucks to make this run toward the postseason. Right now, they have under 10 losses. Like, this is just beautiful basketball. I know this is something that a lot of people want them to hang on to, but I don't know. I don't know if the consistency is there for the Milwaukee Bucks team. But right now, regular season, this is the same stuff that they were up to last year. This is the same stuff that got Giannis his MVP, and I think that he may potentially push the envelope to get the MVP again. I actually want to continue from that. Who do you think at this point in time, since we are at the midway point of the season, is the, I want to say, the front runners for MVP at this point in time?
Oh, wow. That's it's an interesting question. Yeah, Giannis is definitely up there. I got to probably mention, you would think by the numbers, LeBron James is always the guy to mention. But who else can compete? Just digging around. Yeah, you got Giannis.
Let me be fair. Is it more LeBron or is it Anthony Davis? Because a lot of people think Anthony Davis could be in a discussion too with the Lakers.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Those can go hand in hand. I got to mention my boy Doncic for the Mavericks. You know, he's having a great year. He's putting up numbers and everything. You know, he's got, you know, points, assists, rebounds. You got to mention Harden, you know. You know, Harden's always there. He's always going to score, you know. And if there's a sixth guy to mention, it's probably Damian Lillard, even though he just got hurt. But he's our guy. You know he can light it up. The last guy, maybe Jimmy Butler. I know that's a stretch, though, because he, you know, he doesn't – Butler doesn't fill it up every night, it seems, but he still puts up pretty good numbers.
I'll give you some names. How about this? I'll give you some names. How about Jason Tatum?
Yeah, Tatum's doing real good for Boston.
Interesting enough, you said Harden. A lot of people are down on Harden's play at this point in time. Russell Westbrook is the discussion, and I do want to put him on the back burner, so I'm actually going to save that. Actually, I'll go right into that because that was a topic that I wanted to address. And the way that I was addressing it is Russell's takeover in Houston. That's how I said it. Now, a lot of people are feeling a certain way about the way Harden's been playing. He's not had his shot fall as much, even though he's had some games where he's put up over 30. Of course, he's going to get those points in some of those games, but now the consistency has fallen into Russell Westbrook's lap, and people are saying that this is now Russell Westbrook's team. How do you feel about that statement?
Oh, man, it's really hard to just hand it to Westbrook. You know, Harden's been there for a while now, but I guess I could see, you know, Westbrook has a more all-around game, okay? He's a savvy rebounder. He plays better defense. You know, he's any kind of guard you want him to be. I feel like Harden's pretty much a one-track pony. You know, he's basically just a shooting guard. Now, I mean, maybe sometimes he does bring the ball up. I don't view him as a great point guard because he doesn't dish the ball like Westbrook. So I think it is going to become Westbrook's team. I think you're going to see everything ran through Westbrook. And Harden's literally just going to be a shooting guard that, you know, he'll jack up his 10 to 15, you know, threes a game. And, you know, he might make, you know, if he's really hot, he might hit seven. If he's cold, he'll hit two or three. So I would go ahead and I would allow that, give that to Westbrook as the captain.
Now, it's interesting because a lot of people do say that Harden doesn't pass the ball, right? When Russ wasn't there, Harden was passing the ball. Harden was getting his triple-doubles. He was finding Clint Capella. Russell comes, and it's like the dynamic changes. They have to play small ball and, try to play teams with everybody under 6'8". Like, everybody that they're going out there with, the tallest guy is Robert Covington. So it's like, I don't know how long they can hang on to this, but it's been able to work somewhat at this point in time. But they're going to run into a team that's going to, dry them out and try to wear them down as best as they possibly can and try to force the ball in the paint and make these guys play defense. And it's going to be in a bad situation, if you will, if a team has a big that's basically having their way and they're able to stay afloat defending the guards or the guys outside trying to make shots. So this is something that I know that the Rockets have to worry about, but in which Russell's been able to make up the difference and they've been able to stay afloat in the middle of the pack in the Western Conference. So I want to see how this works out, especially with the small ball. I mean, your thoughts on this small ball situation, do you think this works for the remainder of the season?
It's going to be interesting. I mean, you're sacrificing, rebounds and blocks and all that, all the stuff that you really need to get a championship team together. And you basically, I'm not surprised with the head coach they got that they would do that. I think the jury's still out on it. We're going to see how it goes. Against some teams, it'll definitely work. But against others, I think, for instance, the Lakers, I think that's a very tough matchup if they try the small ball. I think the Lakers match up very well. They will, they'll dominate them on the glass. And I think unless Houston's hitting a bunch of threes, I don't think they can beat the Lakers in a 7-game series.
Right, and they just beat the Lakers, so that's what makes it even more interesting, that they beat the Lakers just as recent with the small lineup, too, and Russ was able to go crazy, and this was in Los Angeles when they won the game. But you're right, in a 7-game series, I don't know how that works out, but it's interesting because you have to think about it like this. They're going to have to play that small ball for the remainder of the season with them getting rid of Clint Capella and Nene. I mean, this is the crazy part about the Rockets. They have Tyson Chandler on that roster. Tyson Chandler is at the bottom of the bench, not even trying to play. It's like, wait, really? This is what's going on? Like, you guys don't even want to kick the tires on them at all? And this, at one point, was one of the more better defenders in the post. And, they're able to get it done. I'm worried about this Rockets team. And the bigger question I have, do you think that they can actually win the Western Conference? Because, of course, we've seen them get to the Western Conference Finals and continue to lose to Golden State. Now Golden State's not even in a discussion with all of the injuries that they've suffered. Your thoughts on Houston, like you said, you don't think they can beat the Lakers in a 7-game series. Why is D'Antoni hung up on this trying to work out for the remainder of the season?
Yeah, he thinks a different way. You can go all the way back to when he was in Phoenix with Steve Nash. He's just very offensive minded, okay, and he's really set in his ways. I remember that game Houston knocked off the Lakers, and they really showed resilience down the stretch. They do have a lot of clutch players. It's going to be interesting to see if their coach and their system that he's putting in with basically five guards out there, if it can really hold up down the stretch, like I said, against a team like the Lakers, even, a team like maybe Utah, who's got a lot of bigs, and even Denver, who's got a tough altitude and also got a big man. So we're going to see exactly what Houston's made of coming up soon.
Right. And it's interesting because they have a guy like PJ Tucker. He's strong. At to be 6'5", 6'6", so they put him on the big just to make sure the big stays out of the paint. Covington is their tallest guy, so they keep him at the four, and then the rest of them is like the three-headed guard monster. However they set it up, if they'll put Russ, Gordon, or Harden, however they put the trio together and try to run and gun and shoot you out the gym. And in that game when they beat the Lakers, it was a situation where Russ was the guy carrying them, having a 40-plus night in L.A., and I think this was more or less the same week of Kobe Bryant passing, but this was definitely the first time these guys played in L.A. since Kobe's passing. So I think they kind of took it personal, knowing that Russ was real close to Kobe and James Harden was close to Kobe as well. But Harden didn't have a good game that day when they played in L.A. But we'll see how that happens. I think that they have to deal with a lot in the Western Conference, to say the most. But it's interesting to see that Russ has come, not only come to Houston and have to find his way. It was shaky at first, and then it was like they kind of found their way, and Harden started to fall off, but now Russ is carrying the team. It's interesting to look at it like this because I am the Thunder guy here, and it's like this is the same way that the Thunder organization went. They went with Russell Westbrook. They went with Serge Ibaka. They went with Kevin Durant, and they watched Harden leave for $1.5 million less. I think he wanted like $14.5 a year. They were offering him $13. He went to Houston and ended up getting one of his record contracts too. So this is interesting the way that this is panning out. Well, it had panned out and how Harden is playing at this point in time, which I feel like players go through, ups and downs and sloughs, if you will. I'm hoping that this is a slump. I hope this isn't a lingering situation and him not being able to play the pace that Russ plays with, because the Rockets are number one in the league playing with pace. So I don't know what has to give, but I feel like Harden will end up finding his way. And I'm wondering if this is a situation where it's like the small ball will work out, or does it tire them? Because they're going to be running. They're going to have to run. And for them to run from now, February 13th, until April, and they start to play the big teams in the West, it doesn't matter who they play. I don't care where they're situated. Every game is a tough game in the Western Conference. I don't care how you look at it.
Yeah, it's going to be tough down the stretch for Houston. We'll see what happens.
Definitely. Okay, so another interesting situation that's happening in the NBA, and I just spoke briefly about it. Like I over-talked it like it's not big, but the Toronto Raptors were on a 15-game winning streak and lost to the Brooklyn Nets. And they lost in an interesting fashion. They lost by a decent margin. It wasn't one of those 20-point blowouts. It wasn't something that you're like, geez, what's going on with the Raptors? But you have to think that once you have a streak of, I want to say, over seven, everybody in the NBA notices. And everybody's going to try to play you their toughest. And they went up into Brooklyn, and Brooklyn isn't in a situation where they're playing the best of basketball, but they ended up pulling that game off up against the Toronto Raptors. Your thoughts on the Raptors up until this point? I don't want to count the loss. I mean, you can speak about it how you want, but the Raptors before the loss or after the loss, however you want to look at it, 15 straight at this point in time with injury, they've had players miss time and they were still able to pull this off. And oh, people, don't forget, they are still the world champions right now. And oh yes, Kawhi did just leave this year. So it's like, how is all of this happening with this team? Is it more Nick Nurse? Is it the role players? Is it Van Fleet? Is it Siakam? Your thoughts on this Raptor team?
Yeah, that was quite a run the Raptors were on until last night, which, you know, that happens. You know, Brooklyn's kind of been hungry lately, so it's not a bad loss for Toronto. But, yeah, I don't think anybody thought Toronto would be where they're at without Leonard. But it just goes to show you how good that team was last year. I mean, they are deep. And, you know, we've gone back and forth between them, possibly Milwaukee. You got the Celtics in there, you got the Sixers, and then like we mentioned, the Heat on the other show. It's going to be very interesting to see what Toronto does in the postseason this year. I mean, they definitely have the talent and pretty good coaching staff and now a pretty good history behind them to make a run to another NBA Finals. I mean, it would be absolutely epic if they were able to do it without Leonard. I mean, I give them a shot. I really do, you know. If they can just maintain what they've been doing. I mean, you win 15 out of 16 games, you're legit. You know, you're a contender. So I would actually almost put Toronto as the favorite.
Right. Look, and then look at it like this, too, and I hate to be brutal. With no true superstar, like, Van Fleet and Siakam are the name carriers. Like, and Kyle Lowry, let me not say it that way. Kyle Lowry's an all-star. I mean, let me be fair to Kyle, even though I'm not a big Lowry fan, but he is their all-star, you know, in recent years. I think last year he made the team too. But, like I said, no real superstar. They're pulling this off. They're missing people out there. As hot as the Bucks are, they're 6.5 back. And I don't know if they can actually end up catching them. This would be interesting, to say the least, for the Raptors. especially the run that they've been on. And Brooklyn, I don't even know how to look at Brooklyn right now. I mean, they're 25-28, right? This is their second win in their winning streak. I don't even know how they're going to end up hanging on to this. And I'll start right there. The bottom half of the Eastern Conference bracket, 7-8. This is what bothers me about the Eastern Conference, people. I'm sorry that I'm, like, being bitter about the situation. But the bottom half of the Eastern Conference is always a situation where these teams are under 500. Every year you at least have – it's usually 6-7-8. But this year the Pacers are playing better. But 7-8, the Brooklyn Nets are 25-28. The Magic are 24-31. And they're at the 8th seed. I don't even feel like Orlando will hang on to the 8th seed. I think Brooklyn will slip in there. But how do you feel this handing out? Do you think Orlando hangs on to the 8th seed? Do you think it's a situation where they'll get leapfrogged by, i.e., the Wizards, the Bulls? I'm scared of the Pistons. I don't even want to put them in the conversation because it's Derrick Rose or bust, especially with them losing Drummond. But your thoughts with the bottom half of the Eastern Conference, or does Orlando stay put holding on to the 8th seed?
Yeah, Orlando, you know, they've been all right this year. I mean, they kind of had a rough stretch recently, mainly at home, where they just couldn't buy a win. The Wizards, I was kind of, after they had a horrible start, I've been kind of impressed about how they've responded. It's crazy that we're talking about these Eastern Conference teams, and they all have losing records. I mean, do they really belong in the playoffs? I feel like we have this discussion every year with the Eastern Conference.
Every year.
Yeah. Every single year we're like, how is a losing team going to be able to walk into the playoffs? I don't think the Bulls can do it. They're a good, let's see how many games. They're about six back from Orlando right now. I think it's going to be Wizards or Orlando. I wish I could bring up my Hawks into this equation, but they're just so many games behind, and they've already lost, 41 games. So their best bet is to go 500, which means they would have to win out. Absolutely no chance. Cleveland's buried there. The Knicks are buried. I mean, like you said, the Pistons threw away one of their best talents, and they're 2-8 their last 10. I think, like you said, the safe bet is Magic, and if they happen to have a hiccup, you go with Washington. But I mean, the Bulls are hovering around. They're hovering around Washington. But I really, if I had to pick it, I would go to the Washington Wizards, as tough as that is to pick.
And I feel a certain way about the Wizards because they have the former coach that used to coach at the Thunder with Scott Brooks. And ever since Scott Brooks left the Thunder to take the job in Washington, they have not been what everybody anticipated them being. And especially that was that one season when Kevin Durant was still in OKC. They thought that he would be some bait to get Kevin Durant to come back home to D.C., and it didn't work. And they have not played, interesting qualities basketball, to say the least. But you have a situation where Bradley Beal is there, and me included, I feel like he was snubbed from the All-Star game, but it's like there's a lot of players for him to leapfrog, and I feel like he's been in that discussion, but you got to forget, you can't forget how people pick. Some people will go up into the situation picking players and go up there and pick Alex Caruso 5 times. It's like, how can you get votes if you're getting a guy that's playing off the bench just because he's a fan favorite? So, but looking at the Wizards, I don't know if they get into this discussion. They may. I'm not too sold on the Magic. The Magic lose a lot, especially at home. If we look at what they're doing right now, like the Magic are 15-13 at home. They're damn near 500. They're 9-18 on the road. So these teams are going to have to make an interesting run, and the Wizards are probably the closest. The Bulls have an interesting run, especially the way that LaVine has been playing ball lately for the Bulls. But I'm not sold or thrilled on the Bulls. It's just like they're on some, now you see me, now you don't, or peekaboo. Like we'll play one game and then lose it for four games, So I don't know. And I didn't even go past the Pistons. I wanted to stop right there because it's like it's either the Wizards, the Bulls, or the Magic hanging on to that AC. The Pistons sit up there and watch Derrick Rose go crazy, and they still lose games. They sat up there and watched Reggie Jackson come back, and he's the starter, and they're trying to anchor everything, and he still doesn't have quite the impact that Derrick Rose will have on a game. I feel like everything is in shambles in Detroit. That's almost a complete blow-up situation for the Pistons. I didn't want to go that far, but they are in the hunt. They do have 19 wins. They are six games back, just like Matt said. So it's interesting to see if they can make that happen. But I think it's a three-way race. I feel comfortable if the Wizards can do it. Or I mean, not to boo-boo too much of the Magic. The Magic have quality players there. I'm a Vukovic fan. I like Vukovic. But it's like every year he'll give you like seven of those 30 and 20 games, and look at them. There's seven games under 500. Like it's bad. I the same way I feel with Vukovic is the same way I feel for Derrick Rose. It's like, send them help. Let them shoot a flare gun in the air. Something has to give. Okay, we have calling in. I have Georgia in the building today. Nas, welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
You know how it goes, man. It's cold as hell in Georgia again. I don't know what's going on, but it's like 30, bro, and I'm heated.
Wait, it's 30. You're crying. This is one winter. You're getting cold weather down here. We come up here. I want you to come up north, man. At least come to New York City, because I'm 35 minutes from Manhattan. You come kick it with me, then I'll show you cold. But this year has been warm, so I think we changed, you know, temperatures. You know, like it's been warmer up here and it's been colder down there. So, but usually I laugh at people when they say, "Oh, it's snowing down here." It's like, really? Like, okay. But,
I came down here to avoid that. You see what I'm saying? Oh, it's good, though.
I didn't shoot. Listen, I didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on me. I was born. I can't help it. And trust me, my family is rooted in the South, okay, from the tip of Florida all the way up here. So, believe me, I got some Southern draw, too, believe me. So, but your thoughts on the discussion at hand, at least 7 through 10, to be fair, how do you think this tears out? Do you think the Magic holds on to the 8th seed? I really feel like Brooklyn hangs in there for the 7th seed at 25-20. I think things will get better. The Wizards, Bulls, I don't want to slide as far as the Pistons, unless you feel like the Pistons can make a run with what they have. But with them getting rid of Drummond, I question everything moving forward with this team.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a question, man. It's Brooklyn and Orlando, like you said. Brooklyn, remember, has played a lot of games without Kyrie. And I know a lot of people, it became kind of trendy to say, oh, they're better without Kyrie. No, they're not. Kyrie is a player who can win games by himself sometimes, like when he's on. And that can kind of carry you through a season. So the fact that they've been soldiering on without that, I think they're going to get that 7 or 8. And Orlando, they just had a really bad start. They lost Johnny Isaac, who was showing a lot of the promise that we thought he had. Probably the best defender in the league, honestly. I'll put him over Gobert. I'll go there. And
really?
I would go there. They're really going to be something going forward. But I don't think either one is going to make a deep playoff run unless they get the right matchup. Now, as far as the other teams you listed, Chicago, dumpster fire. They're still trying to figure out what pieces they want to keep. Their injury report is horrendous every day. They're the walking wounded, so that lets you in on how bad it is. And then Detroit, they got the youngest roster in the NBA. If not the, it's one of the youngest rosters in the NBA. So they're doing their rebuild on the fly. They got rid of Drummond for cap space. They're giving Christian Wood a tryout to see if they want to keep him and really invest in him. You got the young boy, Dumbaya. You're going to figure out what you got to do with Reggie Jackson, and D. Rose is there, you know, just for the crowd to have a reason to come to the games. I'm sure they'll figure out something with Blake Griffin this summer, some kind of buyout. But Detroit is doing what they should do. They weren't a good team, and they needed to rebuild. Now, I would have liked for them to get more for Drummond by trading him last year, as opposed to waiting until the deadline where everybody just kind of, you know, sends you the worst offers they can. But this is where they are, man.
So let me ask you a question, because it's interesting you brought up a name, and I was hoping you missed him, but you hit him. You think they're getting rid of Blake Griffin? He's done at the end of this season.
Oh, there's no question. There are questions of if Blake Griffin will be an NBA player next year. Those knee injuries are chronic. Like, this isn't something that's going to go away. So at that high cap number, like, who's going to bring him on the roster and kind of wait for, like, this could become one of those trivia things back in the day. Where we used to see guys just be cap space and get traded around, but never really play anymore. Like, it could get to that level with Blake, man. Like, he has serious debilitating injuries. and, you know, borderline Hall of Famer. No disrespect. He deserved every penny that he got because of who, you know, what he could do. And injuries just kind of derailed him, man. Kind of sad.
Wow. Blake's career, though. Okay, so I won't even say as far of, let me say 2020, 2021. I'll say 2021, 2022. We won't see any more Blake Griffin. You think it'll be over by 2022?
That's my best guess. I'm not saying that, you know, it's guaranteed to happen. That's my best guess. But, I mean, think about it. Are you bringing him in for $25 million on your, you know what I mean, on your cap? Now, after he gets bought out and he can go in on veteran deals like mid-season, I think we can see him extend his career as a veteran guy going for a chip if he can, you know, kind of get healthy. Nothing wrong with that. It'll be similar to the Derrick Rose story.
Sad that they're both on the same team. Like, how sad is that? That they are both on the same roster. It's like watching the highlight reels, right? And watching Derrick Rose go crazy. They're like, why Derrick Rose do this? And get into the lane, and he played like the old Derrick Rose, and then they're like, the Pistons still lost by 17. It's like, man, I would not kill myself for the Pistons. Hell no. Look, they're getting 10 points out of me. Like, no, I'm going to go somewhere and blow up. Like, I don't get it. Matt, do you agree? Do you think that Blake is going to end up somewhere else, or do you think that he'll end up walking away from the game due to the injury that he's been suffering? And I agree with Nas. I don't know what the hell the Clippers were thinking back-to-backing, you know, big $100 million contract after big $100 million contract. And to me, I mean, he can knock down an outside shot, but he's a legit high flyer. That's how I see Blake Griffin. He doesn't play defense. He's a fan pleaser at the end of the day.
I got him going back to the Clippers, guys. I know it's a wild scenario. I mean, I don't know. I got to check the cap room and all that. I know they brought in Leonard, but that would be interesting if he reunited with the Clippers.
Oh, do you think that'll be a good move, Nas, or no? Like, I mean, to me, I feel like they're content with Harrell and Kaboom.
No, that would be a nice gesture in them wanting to bring back a guy who they see as one of their own. They left on bad terms because they traded him in a kind of sneaky way. But if he gets a buyout from Detroit and then they bring him in for a reasonable veteran contract, like, there's nothing wrong with that, man. And kind of hope he gets healthy. But he wouldn't be on the playoff roster this year. We're more talking about next year. That's a possibility, man.
Speaking of which, and speaking of the Clippers, right, and I'm getting this news fresh into the kitchen right now, we have a situation where Paul George got injured in the game, too. He strained his hamstring and did not return. And it's just like I said, the same situation with Damian Lillard. Now it's like an interesting time for these guys to have the vacation, if you will, of the All-Star break. And Paul George missing time, and it's more or less I really don't want to call him injury prone. I'm trying to, you know, save face on trying to throw that at him. But, I mean, your guys' thoughts, I mean, I know Kawhi can carry the weight of the, you know, on his shoulders, but now we are getting to the NBA second half, even though they've already reached the halfway point. But after the All-Star break, this is when people start running. I'm wondering how long this lingers, but this just freshly happened within this game. Your thoughts on this Clipper team, especially when they were already trying to load manage, and now Paul George suffers a hamstring injury?
It's gonna be a tough stretch for the Clippers. They're gonna have to dig deep. I don't know if Leonard, you know, I don't know if he thought it would be this hard when he came over there. It's gonna be a fight. The Western Conference is as always very, very stacked this year.
And they're going to need all hands on deck. They're up 2 right now in the overtime up against the Celtics. This is interesting. Nas, your thoughts on Paul George suffering a hamstring injury? And I'm waiting to hear more about the timetable. We probably won't get it by the end of the night. But your thoughts on him, especially with the load management that Doc Rivers has been trying to do with him and Kawhi at the same time this season?
I told y'all this at the beginning of the season. Injuries are going to hurt the Clippers. And Paul George is the prime suspect. Remember, this happened a month ago. He was out a couple of weeks for a hamstring injury. So he just got the same injury again. We haven't even gotten to any shoulder problems yet. So So I think the Clippers are in trouble as a contender because without Paul George and it's just Kawhi and Lou and Harold, like, no, you're not going to beat the Lakers. So I know all the Clipper fans have been happy all season saying they own the Lakers and all of that. But if they're not complete, then they're not going to win that series. I'm sorry. So Marcus Morris was a nice pickup, but that's not going to get you over the hump when it matters, you know, deep in the playoffs. And if Paul George is out, that means you can't manage Kawhi as much as you want to. So then you're putting more strain on Kawhi, and you know what I mean? Pat Bev is out right now too. So you can see how problematic this could be. So, yeah, this is a huge problem for them with Paul George.
Shout out to the diss that Nas threw, because I do remember that he said the Clippers would have to deal with injuries. All of them, some way, one way or another, have had something linger, including Kawhi. And Kawhi's situation on why the Spurs and him, you know, left on interesting terms. I don't want to say nasty, but it did end up nasty the way that Kawhi was addressing it. But I don't want to put that label on Paul George, even though his career has been riddled with injury ever since you know, that gruesome injury that he suffered in the USA games in that exhibition. But I don't know. I want to stay away from that as best as possible. But the Clippers are, you know, if they win this game, they're tied for second place in the Western Conference. It's interesting as it has been up until this point, coming up to the All-Star game right now, or the All-Star break. Matt, anything that you'd like to throw onto this with Paul George before we get away from this with the Clippers fighting to try to stay in this game with the Boston Celtics?
Well, before the season started, I boldly predicted the Clippers would make the finals, but it's really hard to stand by that prediction. I would like to see it. I don't know how. You know, it's with Doc Rivers as your coach, you know, you're asking for pretty much a miracle. But hopefully George will get back in there. They'll be healthy and they'll make a run.
Okay, well, we will see. I just want to know how long this thing is, because to be honest, it's his hamstring. Those are his wheels. That's how he plays basketball. It's not like he can roll a wheelchair out and just get up and fire a jump shot up. He's going to be running, so he's going to have to watch that. He's going to have to ice it and keep heat, whatever he needs to do to have a quality hamstring. But just like Nas said, he will be the piece to help try to knock the Lakers off if that does end up being the Western Conference final. But right now, just like Nas said, and I agree with the people, they have owned the Lakers. They have taken care of business. But if they are not at full strength, they are in a hell of a situation going up against LeBron and company.
Okay. The next thing I want to jump into, right, and I know it's – how do I say it? I don't want to say it's early, but he's only played a few weeks in the NBA, right? But now they're starting to extend his minutes. They're starting to let him play. Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about? Zion Williamson. And I just – he needs a nickname, and I'm going to work on it for City. Believe me, I'm going to come up with a nickname I don't even know what to call this guy. Like, to my friends, the people at home, I call him Shaquille Jordan. That's my nickname for Zion, but I need something better than that. But the last game that he played up against Portland, he had his career high. He scored 31 points, in which a game tonight up against the Oklahoma City Thunder, he eclipses his career high. It goes for 32. He scored one more point more, but he's getting comfortable. He's shooting over 50% from the field, like, and he's going to get his way. Like, and a lot of people are like, oh, he needs to lose weight to stay on the floor. He's doing fine right now. And I want to know how you guys feel about him right now, and I want to add on to it so I can really get you guys to eat. What would it take for him to get back into the discussion of Rookie of the Year, where I agree with everybody out there. They're saying that this is still John Morant's award. I agree, because John Morant has been playing awesome, and I feel like it's not fair the way that Zion comes back into January. It could potentially steal the award, but it was said on other networks that if Zion is able to help push the Pelicans to get to the 8th seed in the Western Conference, he should at least be co-rookie of the year. I want to see how you guys feel about it. Matt, your thoughts on Zion's output the last two games and, you know, moving forward, how they address Zion potentially for rookie of the year.
Yeah, I think Pelicans are – they're going to keep a close watch on him. They don't want him. He seems like he could be possibly injury prone. But when he does get out there, there is not a better rookie in the league. He proved that on his first night back where he literally went off in the fourth quarter. So I definitely would vote Zion Rookie of the Year. And if I'm the Pelicans, I am keeping a short leash on him. I'm watching him closely, you know, making sure that he's not, you know, he's in it for the long haul. So we'll see what happens with Zion. It's going to be interesting.
Naj, your thoughts? Look, we saw in the preseason how he would play in the NBA as far as how he matches up with the speed and strength and everything else. So we knew what he was already. So it wasn't a question. The thing about him losing weight is about his long-term career. You don't want him carrying all that weight and being so explosive and putting all that pressure on his knees and ligaments. So, you know, you would advise him to lose a little bit of weight. But he's every bit as good as we thought he was. They're playing him at small ball five sometimes. Now look at that matchup nightmare. He takes good shots, which is why he shoots such a high percentage. He only takes clean threes, and he's always probing and driving, trying to get to the rack. So Zion is the real deal, a young superstar in the making. And, yes, he can win Rookie of the Year. He plays the second half of the season. Look, man, he's good enough to overtake Ja unless Ja continues to ball out. So, I mean, we got a real race. So, to me, that's
right. Right. But Ja, okay, let's cook. Let me cook. So, Ja has the Grizzlies as the 8th seed in the West. Like that's saying something, right? If Zion has this change going on, right? Okay, so let me just look at the Western Conference, right? You have the Grizzlies that are 28-26 above 500, right? The leader of that team is either Jaren Jackson Jr. or Ja, which I give more of it to Ja, even though Dylan Brooks is there and he's been shooting the ball well lately. Then you have the Pelicans, who are 23-32. They've had Zion back, I want to say, for at least the last five games, right? They are a good six or five and a half back from the Grizzlies from that 8th seed. And I agree with you, Naj. If he ends up keep playing quality basketball for the second half, it'll be interesting. But if he gets them to be like the 9th seed in the West and they're, you know, messing around with the Grizzlies to see if they who loses, who wins, and try to get into that 8th spot, like that's where I feel like Zion can make it. It's tough as much as I want to see him get it done. But I love both of them. Like, I can't take away from Ja because Ja's an awesome player himself. They might have to do the Grant Hill, Jason Kidd. That's the only way I see it. That's the only way I see it, man. And both of them have been playing ball, and Ja's been calling out veterans like, listen, I'm no regular rookie. I'm coming out here to play. I remember the game that he put up on Kyrie, gave Kyrie a good fistful of money, and then he also gave James Harden what he wanted too. So I can't take away too much from Ja. But what Zion's been up to right now, the last two games he scored his career high. Picture if this continues to go on day by day that he's able to at least get to the rim 10 to 12 times. That's already close enough to his career high, and he's going to get fouled. You're going to touch him. It's not like you're not going to, you know, brush his shoulder or something. And the way that these referees blow the whistle easily, he's going to get anywhere from 4 to 6 free throws a night too. So he's going to be close to getting that 30 on, even walking 30-8. Like, he can be that. I just hope that the consistency stays there, and most importantly, that he stays healthy. He just needs a cast around him. Like, as much as I'm respecting what Brandon Ingram is able to do, like, now that Zion's there, his consistency has to be there. Then Lonzo, it's like they're reluctant shooters, so it's tough. Hopefully Gentry can get this to work out. I don't know. I don't know. Anything you guys would like to add?
They got a good shot at making the playoffs because they got a really good team. But honestly, Favors and Jrue probably hurt the development of the other guys just as far as pecking order is concerned. Because honestly, you could just let this go right now with B.I. and Zion and Lonzo as your cornerstone pieces and probably not make the playoffs. But going forward, you would really have an exciting young team that could be championship caliber in a few years. So that's the most important part, but, you know, that's hard to do right now because you got Jrue out there. And B.I. is so good that he's going to hurt Zion's numbers sometimes because some nights B.I. is just going to have it going. He hasn't played the last two games, and that kind of coincides with Zion having these career nights. But that's going to hurt Zion a little bit too in this rookie race.
Okay. He's 1-1 since Brandon Ingram's been out. That makes me even more interested. Matt, your thoughts on this, too, before we get away from it.
You got to forgive me. I lost my train of thought. What was the topic?
This was the Zion situation. I'll get away from it if you don't have anything else.
Yeah, no, I think he covered everything with the weight issue, and you know, we'll see if he can pull through these injuries.
Okay, so since we are at the halfway point of the season and at All-Star Weekend, I want to start off with league surprises, and I'm not even going to, like, fix the dish. I want to ask you guys what surprised you the most, and I won't even let you limit it to one. Give me three. I'll start with you first, Nas. League surprises at this point in time, and you can go anywhere. If you want me to help put some dishes out, I can. I have one that I'm stuck on, and I can't wait to throw out there, and I hope you guys miss it. But league surprises,
okay.
Eastern Conference, Western Conference, team, player, wherever you – coaching, whatever you like.
Okay. First, I'll go Pascal Siakam. A lot of us from the finals, the championship run last year, we thought he would make the leap into being a legitimate all-star player, and he's done that this year, man. He's been consistent. He's been solid, and anybody would want him as one of their pieces going forward. The second one would be Markelle Fultz down in Orlando. People thought he was done, thought his career was over, thought the mental issues would destroy that young man, but he battled back. He's a solid starting point guard now. And they just want to see him grow now, man. Really good, 20-10 last night. A really good player. And then the last one will be Luke Walton, who is the worst coach in the NBA. Sacramento needs to get him away from their young players ASAP. He is terrible. Disgracing the great Walton name. Shout out to the best broadcaster who makes everybody mad, my boy Bill Walton. But, yeah, Luke Walton is terrible.
Throw it down, Nas. Throw it down. Throw it down.
Here goes the crazy part,
too, Nas, especially with the Bill – well, not the Bill Walton, but the Luke Walton situation. Luke Walton got a lot of notability running the show with Golden State while Steve Kerr was out. Then Steve Kerr comes back. They get to the finals anyway. Then he goes to the Lakers, and he's terrible with the Lakers. They get rid of him, and it's like, okay – well, you just see what happened with Golden State. He didn't have to do nothing but tell him to go out there and play ball, break. And then he got to the Lakers and couldn't get it to work. They let him go, and it was like put him in Sacramento with a bunch of youthful talent that needs a coach to lead them. And this is what Sacramento looks like right now? Boy, oh, boy. Like, do you think this happens before the season's end, or do you think this is going to happen, you know, when it's all said and done in April?
I think it depends on the players. If the players start to show how much they're disgusted with everything that's going on, I think they will have to pull the plug on it. The only problem is Vlade and company are the ones who brought him in, so they're trying to ride it till the wheels fall off. But, I mean, he's just not good at his job. The minutes are unpredictable. You don't understand some of the lineups he plays. He holds personal little vendettas. Like, what he's been doing to Buddy Hield this year is criminal, man. Dude to go for 40 and the next game he plays 15 minutes. Like, it is ridiculous. And then if you got the young kid in Bogdanovich, why the hell would he want to resign? Bogdanovich may go somewhere else next year. He's a solid young player. And why the hell would he want to deal with Luke Walton and his nonsense?
Wow. And speaking of which, Buddy Hield has actually spoken out about this situation too. So it's bad when you have a player, you know, trying to speak out about this and not directly say names, just to say the least, man. Nas is cooking today. I love it. Matt, your thoughts on the league surprises this year, whether it's a player, a team, a coach, your thoughts? Give me at least three.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head about Sacramento. They've stumbled. I'll say I'm a little surprised. I know that there's a lot of injuries for Golden State, but just an overall lack of talent on that team. It's funny to see Draymond Green without the stars and how mediocre of a player he really becomes. You know, Golden State, who would have thought that we'd be sitting here talking about Golden State in the basement? So that's a little bit surprised to me. They just don't have anything besides those big three players they had last year. And it's funny, now you look at that roster, and I think Thompson just came back. But really, there's just no talent on that roster. There's just nothing there. So we'll see how they end up. But they're in the cellar for a reason.
Okay, so it's my turn, right? So it's me. I'm coming with my surprises, and they did not touch any of my surprises, so this is great. I get to start off. Number one, for me, the Oklahoma City Thunder, especially with Nas being here, I love it. I did not expect this. My damn self, with Russ leaving, depression was in my heart as a fan. I'm like, I don't know how we're going to get this done. I thought we were going to get rid of everybody. I thought Chris Paul was going to be on his way out. I didn't know what we were going to do with Gallo. I thought this was going to be a Shea-led team. I didn't know if we were going to get rid of Steven Adams. Well, at this point in time, especially with them winning the game tonight up against the New Orleans Pelicans, the sixth seed with the Dallas Mavericks and Coach of the Year situation, as much as I want to say Budenholzer or Nick Nurse, if Billy Donovan keeps this up, got to throw his name in there. like I cannot think of something else, even though Nas likes to jump on me and say it's Chris Paul. Include both of them. I don't care what nobody says, but this is a hell of a surprise, especially the way that the season started out of the gate. This is the thing, that the Thunder had 22 losses at this point in time in the season. And at February 13th, they started the season opening night until their sixth game, 0-6. They've only lost 16 games since opening night in that run that they lost. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, wow, what type of basketball they were able to put together, let alone not trade anybody, keep these guys pat, and try to make a run at least to get to the postseason. And this is something that me and Nas argue about, and I understand exactly 100%. I'm not even arguing with Nas throws out there. I know, but me being a diehard fan, it's like I just want to see my boys compete. Like I don't like to hear lose next to any of my teams. I don't care if we're playing marbles. I want to win. I don't care what it is. Like, let's do it. And they're doing what they need to do at this point in time. So shout out to the Oklahoma City Thunder as one of my surprises this season. Number two, the Miami Heat. There is no way that I can miss this Heat team. Even though they are sitting at four, they're going to be, to me, I feel like they are going to stay within the top four, even though this is going to be interesting because I don't know what the Sixers are going to do as of late. The Sixers are on a three-game winning streak. They may get leapfrogged by the Heat, but it's going to be interesting because the Celtics are playing awesome. The Raptors, like I said earlier, they just lost their first game out of 15 games, and the Bucks are the hottest team in the league, like with, I think it's eight losses on the season. They're 46-8. So for the Heat to do what they're doing with the youth that they have, with the move that they're supposed to, the move that they have, bringing Myers Leonard down there, Bam Adebayo playing as one of the better bigs in the league, all-star parents too. This is awesome. Duncan Robinson, a shooter that a lot of people don't know about, but if you don't know, now you know, you better go watch a Heat game because this dude can shoot at any given time on the floor. And Tyler Herro, the talent out of Kentucky, he's another shooter. They can space the floor and get these shots up. And don't forget the year that Nunn has been on for this Miami Heat team. It says a lot. I didn't really think that they would at least be in the top half, and they're able to get it done. And I'm missing Jimmy Butler. Like I said, all those names, they didn't even get to throw Jimmy Butler's name in the mix. And I feel like he is the mixing spoon, if you will, because he's a defender. He's the one that's out boisterous and talkative. And I think these guys follow behind it. It's almost like the 2004 Detroit Pistons. When she came, it was like you had mild-mannered Rip, even though Rip could score. You got mild-mannered Chauncey that can score. You got mild-mannered Ben Wallace that can play D and rebound. She came and was the loudmouth guy that could score and do it all, and everybody bought in. Everybody bought in. This is a scary situation for the Heat. I feel like they can be the team that can upset the Bucks in the second round. They can. They can. I'm not saying it will happen, but they can do it if they do stay at that fourth seed. That is my second surprise. And third and last but not least, even though I do have some more, but I just to be fair to the panel, the Minnesota Timberwolves. I just cannot believe what this team looks like right now. They have won. Okay, let me be fair in saying this. Since I think December it is, right, with Cat on the floor, they are 1-17 with Cat on the floor. And you mean to tell me y'all just got rid of Andrew Wiggins and brought D'Angelo Russell there like that was the upgrade move? what are you doing? Especially with a bunch of talent. They do have talent on that team. I like Culver. Culver's a good player. Like, what's going on? Like, and then you're going to put Flip Saunders in the situation down there in Minnesota where I feel like it's going to be next season or bust because they can't really hold his feet to the fire this season. But next season, if he does have a bad season, they're going to get rid of him and all of the motion behind him as being Flip's son and everything that's happened as of recent with them, with everyone, with all of us as an NBA community losing Flip also. I don't know, but I feel like I'm walking on thin ice with what I'm about to say. Is Cat the problem? Is Cat the problem? Like, and they actually did some numbers on, you know, when the Wolves are out there playing with Gang or if Cat is out there. And the plus-minus actually favors Jang when he's out there on the floor and not Cat. Even though Cat is a stat stud, I don't get me wrong, Cat will give you those 37 and 22 nights. Like, it can happen. It can happen. But is he the problem? Are they going to have to move him? Like this is dangerous.
No,
like, I feel like I'm pulled up tonight. So what do they do?
Why
do you tell them?
Cat is not the problem. Cat's a great player. This is just organizational failure. They haven't drafted well. They made mistakes in free agency. They put together a roster that wasn't good enough, and now they're retooling it. And honestly, this was their last-ditch effort. So they finally got off of Wiggins' contract, and they bring in one of Cat's best friends in D'Angelo Russell in order to stop Cat from demanding the trade and leaving. So that's why they got Russell there. They're really good friends. They hope to recruit Devin Booker. To try to make their little big three, their version of a big three. So we'll see where it goes. But no matter what, this was their last ditch effort right here. Because if they didn't figure out some kind of way to keep Cat happy, he was going to leave. But no, Cat's not the problem. And plus minus, this is why plus minus is a good stat sometimes. And then other times, it's just you're studying numbers too much and you're coming up with a stupid solution. You're a better team for having Cat on it. Like,
but wait, they're losing games, though. Now they're losing games. Like, I understand where you're coming from. With the
games. Wait a minute. He was hurt the last couple of months. They were losing games then. Like, they're a bad team.
Okay. But with him on the floor, though, with him on the floor, I wasn't just saying them as the whole, as the Wolves. With him on the floor, they were 1-17. They just won that recent game up against the Clippers. And against the Clippers, no less, and they blew the Clippers out. Like I feel like that
was
the biggest game.
They almost set an NBA record for threes that night, so they just shot well that
night.
But let me just show you how much that stat is meaningless. That same stat that you use, plus minus, if you do that to the Lakers this year with LeBron off the floor and Anthony Davis on the floor, they're actually in the negative. They look like a below 500 team with LeBron off the floor and Anthony Davis on the floor. Are we going to say that? Are we going to entertain that Anthony Davis is a bad player? Like, no, man.
No,
sometimes
not
plus one.
Okay, but these are two different dynamics of teams, though. Like, the Lakers are the better team in the Western Conference. This is a Minnesota Timberwolves team that has to prove themselves. I'm not talking about the Lakers. The Lakers, as written out, like could be a paper champion, even though they have to roll the ball out there and play ball. Where the Lakers are one of the teams that we're thinking that could win the Western Conference. You look at the Wolves, it feels like they could be a playoff team, but I don't think they could win the West, let alone the Warriors have 12 wins on the season. The Wolves are right by them with 16. Like, that's horrible. Like, that's horrible, especially with the pieces that they did have. And they were a playoff team this reason. They don't even look nowhere near the playoff team this season.
Nope, and they weren't. They're terrible. I don't know why people thought they were good, but, yeah, they're terrible. Wiggins is a fake number one pick, and that's why he's in Golden State now.
Right. That's brutal. Wiggins, I ain't picking on you because people feel like we pick on you too much. I'm not trying to pick on you, man. I really thought that you would have some upside, you know, coming into this season. But this is what I was looking at when he came out of Kansas. I was like, he's streaky. Like, he's not a consistent player. And this is still lingering around him. Like, he'll give you that game where he'll put up 40. Then he'll have 18. He'll have 22. He'll have 13. It's like, wait, whoa, what's going on? Like, you were the guy that was supposed to fill the shoes for LeBron when he left Cleveland. Like, what? Like, how?
It just baffles me, man. But it, like I said, this is a surprise to me. I'm surprised. Now, it's interesting something Nas said about Devin Booker trying to come to Minnesota. You think Phoenix will let Booker go? Or do you think they throw every bank in Arizona at him before he even attempts to leave the state?
I mean, it would have to be Devin wanting to go out there with them. Like, if he wants to go, I'm sure he can make it happen, and Minnesota would give up, you know, crazy draft picks and everything else to facilitate the deal. But that all depends on if Devin Booker wants to go out there. Because if we're being honest, it's probably a better future in Phoenix for him than it is in Minnesota when you look around with Kelly Oubre and, you know, some of the other young guys that they have and DeAndre Ayton. I would say that's probably a better position to be in. And who would rather live in Minnesota than Phoenix, you know?
Right. Matt, how do you feel about that? Do you think Devin Booker stays in Phoenix, or will he end up going to a contender? Not only just Minnesota. I mean, if you want to throw another team in the hat that needs a shooter of his caliber, you can throw that out there. But do you think he stays in Arizona or goes somewhere else in the league or could potentially land in Minnesota with D'Angelo and Cat?
I'm gonna have him staying in Phoenix. Believe it or not, I think the Suns are, seems like they're doing it every year, but they're trying to build up or something. And, you know, I'm pretty sure they're not in contention like they usually are not, but I think they're going to keep Booker around, get a draft pick, and build with that team. They started off on fire, so they got a lot of potential, and they have the ability to compete with anyone in the league on any given night, especially when Booker's in there. So I really hope he stays there.
It is interesting, man. And this is a team that I was trying to watch out for because I know at the beginning of the season we talked about them here and saying Phoenix could potentially be one of the teams that could crack the top eight. They will not. I think they'll stay at the bottom half. And it's not even, like, laughable to look at where they are because they have an interesting record. They're 22-33. And looking at the teams in the Eastern Conference, I mean, everybody's in a bad situation now. He's below eight, even though 7 and 8, they're both under 8.
And I can't knock them this year either. Monty's done a good job coaching that team. They're well prepared. The scheme is good. Just remember, DeAndre Ayton missed 25 games for that suspension for taking a diuretic, and that kind of ruined that season. Like 25 games, one of your major pieces, that's hard to overcome.
So with him in a full season, do you think they crack the top eight next year?
I think they got a good chance for it, man. It just depends on the development of Oubre. It depends on the development of Devin Booker, of course, and, you know, how good Ricky Rubio can play. Ayton is a monster. He's a nice young player. So, yeah, we'll see Frank Kaminsky come back. We'll see Dario Saric, I think, come back. So it's not a bad team, man.
Okay, fair enough. So I seen something that happened the other night, right? In which the Denver Nuggets and the Lakers played, in which the Lakers ended up winning this game on the road in Denver, and LeBron had a triple-double in Colorado, no less. But late in that game, watching the Denver Nuggets just kind of let this game slip, had me questioning everything at the end of the game. Now, one, Michael Porter was out. He didn't play, so I know this is a name that has been addressed in his kitchen all season long on the potential and capabilities with Porter. But watching these guys late in the game just, like, lose it, it's like they are at quality. I want to give them more than quality. They're a good team out west, but I don't think they have what it takes to get to the Western Conference Final. I mean, your guys' thoughts. And I'm trying to, like, beat around the bush on this, but I have to call it how I see it. Like, Jokic started letting the game go late. And I don't know if it was the fact that, you know, Dwight Howard was able to, you know, bang with him a little bit or them sending bodies at him and kind of wearing him down. But he had questionable possession after questionable possession late in that game. Do you think they have what it takes to get to the Western Conference Finals? Or do you think this will be a stud team, you know, for the early portion of the playoffs and then fall apart late? Matt, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on the Denver Nuggets?
That was a tough loss last night. You know, it could have gone a million different ways, went to overtime. Lakers wanted to make a statement because they kind of got – we talked about they got disrespected by Houston at home. So you're kind of right about the big man. He let it slip. And I look for Denver to be there in the playoffs. It's going to be a tough team. It's always tough to play in Denver. You know, guys are gassed. Now, the Lakers, you know, they were up for it. They're in shape. The Lakers are a good team. Some of those other teams, even Houston, I'll add Houston with their guards running up and down the floor. We talked about it all night. They're going to be gassed if they have to go to Denver, you know, especially if Denver somehow gets the home field and potentially teams playing four games in Denver. Denver will be there when it's said and done in terms of the final four, I believe, in the Western Conference.
Nah, your thoughts on the Denver Nuggets?
I wouldn't disagree with him. I think they do make it to the Final Four. Whether they get to the Western Conference Finals is based on what matchup they get. If they get a favorable matchup, then, yeah, they could make it into the Western Conference Finals. If they don't, then, you know, we get what we expected, you know, second round and they go home. But they're a good team. They didn't have Will Barton, so they lost the game to the Lakers. No shame in that. But Monte Morris, like, don't talk to Hall of Famers. Like, don't piss off a Hall of Famer. It's a bad idea. They got a LeBron ceiling game and they lost because Monte Morris wanted to taunt an all-time great. You don't taunt all-time greats. We've been through this before. LeBron and D-Wade laughing at Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk goes crazy. Like, you don't laugh or taunt Hall of Famers. Leave them alone.
Right. And I seen that play. I remember, I think LeBron was trying to flop. It was something like that. But then they called the timeout, and then he walked past LeBron, and he said something to LeBron. LeBron tried to walk up on him like, okay. Next time they came out, it was like it was all guns a-blazing. LeBron was not playing around. He finished with a triple-double and basically wore them out. Like, they leaned on them, where I more or less looked at it like Jokic could probably lean on them and wear them out. They were ready for it. And this is something that Matt touched on earlier in the show, talking about LeBron being MVP. If anything happens with the Lakers and their name addresses the MVP, they'd have to go co. It has to be both LeBron and Anthony Davis, the way that both of these two play. But Anthony Davis forces these guys to either show on LeBron or come to him, and it opens the game up. And LeBron is actually shooting the ball way better than we're used to seeing. So, This is tough to watch a Lakers team not only come up with, you know, these wins, but be able to slow down the game and win in half-court sets. This is tough to deal with.
Yeah, look, year 17 for LeBron to do this is a great accomplishment. He should be first-team All-NBA, but all MVP talk should end at Giannis. He's had a phenomenal year. He's damn near only playing 28 to 29 minutes a game because they're blowing people out when he plays. This is Giannis's award, man. If they hold on in the second half the way they've done it this first half, I don't think you can give it to anybody else.
Not even Chris Paul. Like you not even Chris Paul. Like, damn, come on, Chris Paul for MVP.
The man played 20 minutes against the Knicks and had 30, 12, and 7. Like, you just got to give it to Giannis, man.
I know, man. Especially the way that they're playing, man. Send them out west, man. I want to see them play more teams out west, but they're doing the thing out west too. I mean, okay. So look, this is their record in the East. In the East, they're 28-4, right? So that means that they are 18-4 against the West. They're still doing it. It's like they're beating everybody up. Like, this is tough, man. This is tough. They're 25-3 at home, 21-5 away. Like. And it's tough. Like, where would you go, Coach of the Year? Is it Budenholzer hands down? Is it Nick Nurse, the run that he just put together? Do you have another coach that you'd like to throw in the hat? Like, I was throwing Billy Donovan in there just because of the way that they've been able to play. I mean, who do you think it is right now, Coach of the Year?
Stop it with this Billy Donovan nonsense. Look, I mean,
I'm going to say it.
Coach Bud is going
to
get it.
The Thunder was supposed to be a top 10 pick. And look at what he's been able to do. It's not all Chris Paul.
Yeah, good luck with that. I'm out here in Atlanta, and I'm loving it, baby. Keep tanking. We're going to get us some more picks to add around Trey. I love it.
Listen, both of you are in Atlanta, and Matt's asking for it too. So
I mean, I don't know what it's going to take to help fix that Hawks team. I really don't. But they got to put more than just a whole bunch of, you know, forwards around these guys. Like something has to give. And now we'll see how they look with Clint Capella and Nene. I want to see how they do look with a big there now.
Yeah, we're rolling. Hey, man, y'all want to make the playoffs? Y'all want to have playoff games? Hey, that's fine, man. Enjoy it, OKC. Down in Atlanta, we thinking long term, baby. We got Capella as a nice big on a reasonable contract, so we don't have to kind of, you know, chase a big in the draft, and we can keep looking for quality players to add to the core that we have now. So, yeah, man, ATL looking real good.
Y'all not real. You already Matt. How do you agree with them? Do you think? Okay, I'll be fair to the both of you, right? 2 to 3 years, the Hawks are a playoff team.
Well, we talked about the Eastern Conference and how sorry it is.
Well, that's
so,
true too. That's true. That is true. Right?
Could they right. potentially be in it next year? If they get a few games to go their way that didn't go their way this year, I bet Nos likes Collins. I mean, that guy can ball.
Yep.
I mean, you can build a team around that guy. You really can. And I thought bringing back Teague was, you know, a good move, even though he may have lost a step. I like Jeff Teague in that locker room for those young kids. And I do like the potential of this Hawks team. It's really going to depend, though. I would like us to lose, too, to go ahead and try to get a top 10 pick. You know, you never know. Maybe trade, get a top 5 pick, and just go for the gusto and go for it all. And yes, try to make the playoffs next year. Look, you got to improve maybe 10 games. 10 games, and you'll be in the running for the Eastern Conference. That's it. So that's doable for the Hawks.
Okay, so what are they missing? I'm going to talk to both of you Peachtree boys. Who are they missing? Is it a small – They have a big that's like Nas head on. I mean, I don't even know if Nene sticks around for next season. So it's Capella.
No, we're not talking
really
about Nene. He was
I'm excluded. Wait, did you hear what I said? I'm removing him. Listen to me.
Oh,
don't,
okay.
Don't you hear people what I'm saying? Do you see how people do this to me? You see how people do this to me? They don't want to hear me. They ready to give it to me, though. I said they have Capella. I don't even know if Nene sticks around because Nene is 38, 37.
He's not going to stick around. They're going to buy him out at some point. He'll be gone. Like, no, he's not part of the process. We just need more all-star caliber players, and that's why you keep tanking so you can get – look, you're an OKC fan. You've seen this happen already. You saw your GM roll 3 7s in a row, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant. So we already got one piece in Trae Young. Now we got what? Solid role players and guys who we want to keep going forward in Kevin Herter, and we got John Collins, and now you add Capella to the mix. So now we got what? We got one more pick, I think, from Dallas, and we got our own pick, which should be a high lotto pick. Yeah, man, this is how tanking works. I love it. Look at Philly right now. Look at OKC, what they've done. Like, yeah, tanking works in the NBA. I'm sorry.
Okay, look. Let me back off these Atlanta guys, man. I don't know what they need, but this is the tough part. Like, they got shooters, they got smalls, and they got their 2-point guards. It's like Matt said with Teague there. Trey's the franchise guy right now, and it just depends on if they can continue to keep Capella involved in the game like how Harden would set that up and get to the lane and just keep setting him up with an alley-oop. So hopefully he doesn't fall apart. Hopefully he doesn't have to, like, try to create outside of screen and role plays and getting alley-oops and scoring as easy as he possibly can. So I'm wondering what the Hawks have to do to be competitive. Like I said, in 2 to 3 years, I think that it could be there next year. I don't know, because KD comes back around and that's more losses on the board while the Nets are going to get stronger. And God knows I'm praying for John Wall, man. If John Wall could ever get back on the floor, because he'll be a part
man,
of that.
Man, we ain't worried about them. Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter can't buy a drink yet. We got young lotto pieces as is, and we're going to keep adding, man. I can't believe people doubt these Hawks, man. We're the real deal, man. We'll be contenders in 3 years.
Look, I'm not pushing the button on condoning drinking. People, do what you do. Drink at the right age. But no, and I'm not buying. All right, look, you 2 to 3 years. I give you 2 to 3 years. I give you 2 to 3 years. 2 to 3. Next year, that's
we'll get the lottery pick that y'all should have got while chasing the playoffs.
Hey, we got a lot of picks. I ain't even worried about draft picks. Do you know how many picks we got?
Yeah,
Oprah's up being drafted and be like, and you get a pick, and you get a pick, and everybody gets a pick. I ain't worried about the draft. Like, I'm like, man, I don't even want to worry about that. Like, and looking at the Thunder, it's like, who do we need? Like, what, a small, like, or a shooter that can play D? That's the only thing I'm thinking of. Like, but they have a ton of it, and Billy Donovan won't even play him. He won't lose it. I don't know if y'all be watching the Thunder like that, but Deontay Burton plays D. He's a good shooter. He's a solid body, and he's a high flyer. And they don't even reset at the end of the bench. They won't let this guy get any play. It's like, really? It's like, really? You put Abdul Nader in the game before you put Burton in the game. You got to be kidding me. Like, okay, I'm getting away from it. So we
no,
all
that's,
had to
tell him coach of the year candidate. That's your coach of the year candidate.
No, well, hey, okay, look. Okay, I'm gonna be honest, right? How many games we played? Hold on. Don't laugh. It's not funny, right? Look, we played 55 games, right? We lost the first six out of the game, right? And in the next 49, he went 33-16. Who would have expected that?
Yeah. Chris Paul has done a really good job in that locker room.
Oh, my God. He's so horrible. Like, why? This is what I go through, Swin City. I'm telling you, he won't even give Billy. No, Billy, I got you, man. And Billy, I wasn't even a big fan of yours. Look, it takes a lot for me to be a fan of yours. I didn't like you when you were in Florida. And you come here, and now you got me buying into this crap. And I'm arguing with Nas on air, man. This is horrible. Okay, so we are at the tail end of the show. I need plugs and closeouts from each of you as we set it down here at the cafe. Great stuff. I'll start with you first, Nas. Give me a plug, closeout, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the cafe.
Yeah, man. Everybody enjoy the rest of the basketball season. I think we're gonna see a lot of exciting things. This is a very, very, very weird year. We got the analytics changing the game, and people are now getting used to it. We've got the death of Kobe Bryant hanging over the league like a miasma, and that's going to be the biggest story no matter what. And just we're going to see how that plays out, even with the playoffs, because this is like not some momentary thing. Like, this is going to last for a long time just because of how shocking it was. So, you know, just, you know, enjoy the season. And somebody got to explain UFC scoring to me, because I still don't understand UFC scoring. Somebody got to explain that to me.
Man,
we were big into that.
Listen, I got to get Nas in on a brunch. I got to get you here on a Sunday morning. And it's crazy. Nas, you don't even know, and I know I might be spilling a little more, but just hearing that they were coming out with statements, I think, out of yesterday and some of today, that they had a private funeral for Kobe, and, you know, it happened on the 7th. Like, I'm up here like, yo, Kobe playing around, man. Like, he's sitting in a box somewhere just about to jump out and be like April Fool's Day or something. It's like, and you said how it is. Like, it's going down, like, now. Like, this is, like people are not – well, I'm going to just say me. I'm not even going to say people. Like, don't understand the impact of what this guy was. I am nowhere near a Kobe Bryant fan, but now I am, that he's passed away. Like, I could not stand Kobe at all. And then he passes away. It's like, man, I'm so hurt. I'm like, what? Like, how did this happen? And then just hearing all of the details, there was nothing wrong with the helicopter, and hearing everything, it just sounds so questionable, everything that happened. And I don't want to start running into conspiracy stuff, but I'm there. Like, that's the only thing I got to come up with, but very interesting. And like Nas said, this is going to be an interesting run to in the second half of the season, while these teams start to, you know, try to take place and get better seating so they can get some type of home court advantage in the month of April. Matt, any plug, closeout, shout out that you like to do or promote as we shut it down here at the cafe?
Well, it's going to be very interesting, gentlemen. I enjoyed it. I'll make a bold proclamation. the Atlanta Hawks will be in the playoffs in 2021. Not only that, they will win a series, closeout game in Atlanta against the Celtics, and they win it. Bold proclamation, Ty, but thanks for having me. Enjoyed the show. It will be interesting to see the second half. If I had to pick, I will go with the Lakers against the Toronto Raptors, and the Lakers take it.
Oh, oh. Okay, look. Before I get you guys to go, who wins the three-point shootout? Who wins the dunk contest?
Whew. I'd have to look at the names. Lillard would have been my pick, but we.
He's out. Who, you said Lillard? You said Lillard is out.
Yeah, Lillard's out.
Let me go with Duncan Robinson, and in the dunk, give me Aaron Gordon.
Is Gordon in it this year? I thought they were saying that he wasn't. Okay, so. Wait, hold on. You said in a 3-point contest you were with Duncan Robinson, but yet you up here screaming Hawks and Trae Young is in the shoot in the 3-point contest? How dare you? How dare he, people?
Hey, 3-point contest is different from a game.
Right.
Oh, come on. I don't want to hear it. Sports City, you hear him, right? You hear him. Okay, so me, the 3-point contest, this is a tough one too, boy. I'm going to go with Joseph Harris. How about that? I'm going to go to Brooklyn with this one, even though I really like Nas's pick. I want to go with Duncan Robinson because this kid is a flat-out shooter. I'm going to go with Joseph. And in the dunk contest, it's tough to go away from him too. I want Aaron Gordon to win too. But I'm going to go with Derrick Jones. I'm going to go with the Heat because they're one of the surprise stories. And Derrick Jones gets completely off of the floor. I'll go with Derrick Jones and Joe Harris as my shooter and the dunker.
Kid from Phoenix is not in it. Look up LeClerc, the little guard from Phoenix, if anybody gets a chance. Oh, my God.
Well, Devin Booker is the shooter. He's in it. So you want to go with Booker because Booker's in it.
No.
I'm
going to
take a wild card.
Always pick worst players in the 3-point contest. With shooters as far as that contest goes. So I always pick the Joe Harris's of the world, the Duncan Robinson's of the world.
Like it. We'll be at it. Believe me. You'll hear from me Sunday. I'm going to get you in here. Matt, who do you like in the 3-point contest? Are you going with Trey? Are you going with somebody else? And in the dunk contest, who do you like?
I'm going to go with the wild card here, and I believe that Zach LaVine. I think he could pull it off. He's obviously the long shot. As far as the dunks go, I think you guys are whoever y'all picked. I think those are solid picks. Don't know too much about dunkers, to be honest. I am more into shooters, so I like Zach to pull the upset. So we'll see what happens, guys. It's gonna be interesting. I might put a little side bets on that 3-point contest.
Hey, the J is wet. When Zach LaVine is at that line, the J is wet. Now, if you ask him to step in 1 foot, all of a sudden he can't shoot. For some reason, it's drive or three. Shout out to Zach LaVine.
Would he be the only player that won the dunk contest and a three-point contest ever? If he did pull it off, that would be interesting. Because I remember when Michael Jordan tried to do it, and Mike couldn't shoot the three ball at all. Okay, Sports City. So this just about does it. We'll see. We'll see if he does it. If he got that trigger finger itchy, we can see if he can pull it off. Sports City, y'all stay tuned. We'll be back in here Sunday morning with the brunch, talking more about the All-Star game and things that go down over the weekend. We'll definitely probably be talking about the excitement of the 3-point shootout and somebody could have a perfect run, throw up all 30 balls, or seeing if somebody could get 50 all night at the dunk contest. But on that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.